Hi, this is Huggy Boy. This is going out to all the homies on a Sunday afternoon.
This is how we do it.
You wanted to never rush your money.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hops and Notes, episode 4. Joining me on this episode is Ruben from Turning Tables Podcast. And yes, for the first time on this show, Phil from Horrible People's Podcast.
Yo, what's up? Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
Ruben, you want to say hello to the peoples?
Hello. Like he said, I am Ruben from Turning Tables Podcast. If you've been listening to Turning Tables this far, I was your first DM, now playing Richard Hernandez Diaz. yeah, so if you recognize me from there... Hi. If you don't, hi.
You should have recognized them from episode 1 and 2. Before we get into music, we're cracking a cold boy. Ooh. We pass these cans around to y'all.
What do we got here?
So what this is from Rogue Brewing. We got Neon Snowpocalypse.
I love the labeling on this,
dude. Yeah, the label's fucking incredible. It's got this killer snowman breathing blue and green fire.
Kaiju vibe.
This rules. I love the fuck out of this this can.
Yeah, it's... Definitely, whoever designed this can should be designing album covers.
Seriously.
For, like newer age metal bands.
For holiday metal bands.
It is 8.2%.
Oh, God.
50 IBUs.
Am I going to die?
Yeah, we might. It's an Imperial Cold IPA.
Okay.
Let's crack this boy open, y'all.
Let's do it.
Culture.
Oh, yeah.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
All right.
Ooh, mine had a real frothy top.
Oh, I like this.
This is a trip.
It's heavy. Like, I feel like I'll be pregnant, like, carrying a big baby belly. Beer baby belly.
Beer baby belly.
Like, after I'm done with this can. But, no, this is good, though.
Yeah, it's solid.
Yeah.
So, that IBU number, that's, like, bitterness units.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, the higher the unit, the more bitter it is.
Yeah,
50 is not too bad.
Okay.
And it's not as bitter as I thought it was going to be. Which one of you guys want to read the bottom of this box it came in?
The bottom of it, right here?
Yeah.
On rare occasions, as if by a stroke of frosty fate, a blizzard so fierce rains from the sky, bringing with it unimaginable cold. Some say, quote, fight fire with fire, end quote. So we say, fight cold with cold. This Imperial Cold IPA is an abominable beast that features a crisp, hoppy bite with undeniable notes of tropical and citrus fruits that will guide you by neon glow through the harshest of winter storms. Will the end of all things be filled with fluorescent snow on a fire-breathing snow beast? Maybe. Could a single freak snowstorm change the course of history? It certainly did for us.
Hey.
That's fucking awesome. I like the...
I almost thought he was about to go into his own flow right there when he said abominable beast twice. Abominable beast. Abominable beast.
A little record
two time. Two time. Holy shit. All right, so what would you guys rate this out of 5 bottle caps?
Honestly, like, I'm starting to drink IPAs again. Like, I went at least, like, two years without drinking IPAs. But thanks to Stone Cold's Broken Skull IPA, I'm slowly getting back into IPAs. This is good. I like this. Out of what? I'm sorry.
Five bottle caps.
Five bottle caps? Dude, this is like a 3.85.
Yeah, I would say it's a solid like 3.5-ish area for me too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate it. I'd definitely drink 3 of these and not do anything with the rest of my life.
Call it a day.
At least for the night. Yeah.
No, I like this. I really do. That's good.
I'm going to be the odd man out. I'm not a big IPA guy.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as bitterness ratio, that's usually what gets most people off.
Right.
This one's not so harsh. Like, it's I could finish this. Most IPAs, I hit them like, no, this is like drinking pennies.
Mm-hmm.
So, for all the non-IPA drinkers out there, I give it, overall, like a 2.5. It's not terrible.
2.5. Okay.
It's not my favorite beer.
Yeah. Not bad, man. It's not like the best thing I've ever had, but I don't hate it.
I think if the bitterness level was up a few more notches, I'd probably lower my score a little bit. But this is like the right amount of bitter.
Right.
I think,
yeah, I dig it.
Yeah.
And a cold Imperial. So I think like cold is like they brew it differently. Because I've brewed a IPA at home once.
Oh, really?
And that one was very bitter though.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, cool, man.
Sick.
So solid beer. Go out and find it. Thank you, Rogue.
Nice.
Yeah, really,
yeah. They don't pay me to do that. Y'all, I went out and paid for this. So, anyway, let's get to this album. Today we're talking about Wu-Tang Clan's Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers.
Up from the 36 Chambers.
Hey. Hell yeah. And we listened to the expanded edition that's on Spotify. Just going to throw it out there real quick. The last three songs are like radio edits and a cappella of Cream. So we're only going to cover those 12 songs that are actually on the album. But Ruben, let me get some Wu-Tang info.
Oh, I'm here to give you some Wu-Tang info. This is Rec Matrix from the California Squadron Wu-Tang. Mm. Let me hit you up with this information real quick. Wu-Tang is a rap group from Staten Island, New York City. They were formed in 1922.
Nope. 92.
What did I say?
They are 100 years old.
They old.
What did I say?
22. You said 22.
My bad.
You're good. You're good.
I didn't even hear that. They got stopped.
Look, Wu-Tang Clan, they're old guys now. You know, but they're
very old. Why did I say 22?
But they are 100 years old.
Definition of old head?
1992. I don't know why I was thinking that. Original members consist of RZA, GZA, Method Man, Raekwon, The Chef, Ghostface Killah, Inspector Deck, U God, Master Killah, and my personal favorite, Old Dirty Bastard.
The ODB.
R.I.P.
They have released 7 studio albums as a group, and of course, more as solo members. Enter the Wu-Tang is their first studio album and was released, I could speak words, on November 3rd, 1993, under Loud Records. Its title originates from the martial art films Enter the Dragon and the 36 Chambers of Shaolin.
There you go. Beautiful. Oh, man. I can't wait to get into this, man.
Let's get some information from this album specifically.
Yes. This album serves as a landmark release in the era of hip-hop known as the East Coast Renaissance, leading the way for other East Coast rappers such as Nas, Biggie, Mobb Deep, and, of course, Jay-Z. It peaked at 41 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart and sold 30,000 copies in its first week of sales. That's crazy. By 1995, it was certified platinum, and by 2018, it was certified triple platinum.
God damn.
Yep. In 2020, Rolling Stone had it ranked 27th on their 500 greatest albums of all time. Dude, that's really good.
27?
Yeah. That's,
27 that's of insane. 500 greatest albums?
That's almost top quarter of
them. Dude, that's...
Oh, no, it's more. It's 500. Yeah.
That's really good. And in 2022, the album was selected by the Library of Congress for preservation in the National Recording Registry for being, quote, culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. That's really well put.
I mean, yeah, I think it hits all of them. We'll get to it.
This album is 58 minutes, 26 seconds long, and has 12 songs.
Hell yeah. We're going to get right into these songs. Track 1, y'all already know what it is. Bring the motherfucking ruckus.
Bring the motherfucking ruckus.
God, I love it. It's like we planned that.
bring the motherfucking ruckus.
I'll start it out here with track 1 on Bring the Ruckus. My notes, I write down like some of my favorite lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote Glock burst, leaving a hearse. Actually, the trick, just like Nixon.
Yep.
Vicious act of terrorism.
Yep.
These lines in the 90s are insane.
Yeah, no.
It's a hard way to start an album, and it stays that way through the whole song, even with MC changes. Like, 100%. Incredible.
100%.
Who the fuck starts an album like this?
This entire album is raw, and it just starts off with one of the rawest tracks you'll find on this fucking thing. Like, it's a great introduction, and it really sets you up for like the fucking... The overall just raw. I'm just gonna keep using that word raw because that's ooh baby, I like it raw. it's literally like that's how what I think of. That's the main word that I keep coming back to. And this Bring the Ruckus is definitely like one of the most rawest tracks on this one for sure.
Ruben?
So Ghostface Killah comes out very strong in this one. I wouldn't say he's one of the best guys on the like lyrically, but this one, Ghostface Killah was showing up, bro.
Yeah.
And he's also saying very topical. I like how Blow Sparks like Waco, Texas. Yeah. I was like, oh shit, he went that hard that quickly. I wasn't prepared for that.
Yep. That was a recent event too.
Yeah, at that time it was like very topical at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was like, okay, I see you.
I'm going to say this album is very sample heavy, and what's very cool is on Wikipedia, they go track to track, they say who's on the track, who produced it, and they give you the samples.
Nice.
Oh, so the samples in this...
Oh, I know... Oh, okay, we'll go to those other... I know the two other samples for sure.
There's a few that I'm like, I know that one, yeah. I know that.
I don't think I even know those.
So this one is Synthetic Substitution by Melvin Bliss.
Okay.
CB Number 2 by Ralph Vargas and Carlos Bess. In the Rain by the Dramatics.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I did not know that.
And
okay.
The dialogue from the movies is Shaolin and the Wu-Tang and Ten Tigers from Quang Tung.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so the quote when he goes, "On guard, I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style."
Yeah,
Wu-Tang soul style.
That's sick.
Yeah.
I will say, like, so on the thought of the word raw for this whole album, the quote, the production value is not good. It sounds like they recorded it in their garage.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's not clear, but I think it helps. Like, it gives that, underground vibe to it. And that was the energy they brought. Like, it was insane. People complain about it because, like, now we've gotten such good, clean, crisp recordings of all of them. But, like, that first one, it's, like, again, raw. Like, it sounds so good.
It's, you listen to this album and you listen to the one right after it, Wu-Tang Forever.
Yeah.
It's a significant difference in sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, quality. I mean, I think this album for sure just fits because, like, their music videos are super low budget. Dude, I think it was Cream was shot at Inspector Deck's mom's house. Someone's mom's house. I don't know if it was You Gods or Inspector Deck's mom's house. Like, that's how low budget, like, everything from the making of this album to their music videos were.
That's insane.
You know, so.
And I feel like this, again, like, this is the beginning of East Coast flow as, like, the general.
Yeah.
It was very much emphasis on flow. What does your flow sound like? We're not listening to music as background track. How's your flow sound?
Yeah.
And that's what this whole album, it accentuates flow before anything else.
Absolutely.
It did, like, it's like we were saying with Nas, Biggie, Jay-Z, like, that was, like, that specific flow, that East Coast flow, that vibe. The beats sound different than West Coast. The flow is completely different. Like, it's almost a little more serious at times.
Yeah.
Like, West Coast, we talk a lot about parties, a few gang things, like NWA did that. But, like,
big on the gangster rap in the West Coast, for sure, at the
East
time.
East Coast was more, it was aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a punk album.
Yeah, exactly. Aggressive, yeah, absolutely. You put it, I think you said it beautifully right there. The overall scope of this album and East Coast rap in the early 90s was a completely different ballgame than it was in the West Coast, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. My beer had a bubble in it.
Oh, there you go.
We're going to go to track two. I cannot say the last word, but shame on
I always say ninja.
I like it. Ninja.
Because there are ninjas, like sound effects, kung fu stuff.
Yeah, there are ninja fights in these.
Yes.
So, yeah,
ninja fights
shame
are
on a ninja.
Yeah.
Phil, let me get your thoughts on this.
This track is a really good follow up to Bring the Ruckus because it's got a really catchy beat. And then, like, I think one of the shining stars in this one has got to be the Old Dirty Bastard.
Old Dirty Bastard.
Hut 1, Hut 2, Hut 3, Hut.
Yeah.
Old Dirty Bastard live and uncut. Like, this album is, like, top, like, high. I think it's after the introduction from Bring the Ruckus, Shame on a Ninja is like, okay, we are fucking, this is like our hype track, pretty much. This is the song that's going to get played on the radio, and it's going to hook a lot of fans, potential fans, and stuff like that, probably because of the music and the flow, too.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, my three favorite members of Wu-Tang, in order, Old Dirty Bastard, Method Man, Raekwon the Chef.
Nice.
Yeah. All three on this track.
Yeah.
Just killing it. Yeah. Yep. And again, the references they make again to the Warriors
come out and play.
Yeah, then we form like Voltron.
Yeah,
like,
I literally have "Form Me Like Voltron" written down.
When I remember being in like in eighth grade listening to this song, the cultural references, which I'm sure we're gonna touch up on
a lot we'll get
on
there.
I just thought it was so cool. I was already getting into movies at the time, and I was reading comic books a lot, watching anime, and then my parents and older cousins would show me old school kung fu flicks from the back in the day. So Wu-Tang showed up around at a time where I was just really getting exposed to like pop culture.
Mm.
And it couldn't come in at a better time. And all the references on this track specifically.
Yeah,
it's heavy with the pop culture references.
It's so good. I literally wrote, beat is so dope.
Yep.
And I love that ODB comes in. Like, ODB's voice, he's very animated. Mm-hmm. It's almost like comical sounding, but like, he'd be saying some of the craziest shit and like
100%.
It's so wild, and then you got Method with that smooth lyrical flow that's like East Coast, like that's the East Coast shit that like came from it, and then like the shit stains line always makes me laugh. But that was such a good line, mm-hmm. but it's comical as fuck. Yeah. Like, it's comedy. And, like, that was a cool thing about the different personalities of Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
It comes out a lot in their albums, but, like, to get it right away from track or from album one, like, these are all different people.
Mm-hmm.
They all rap different, and they made this album work.
I'm glad you touched up on that right now, because one thing that I've, like, if you listen to, like, a lot of rap groups, hip hop groups, like, the MCs in any other group, not any other group, because, like, I'm a big Tribe Called Quest fan, too, but I was going to say, a lot of hip-hop groups sound the same.
Yeah.
It's like, you can barely tell, like, I mean, in Wu-Tang, we're talking about completely distinctly different, like, MCs.
Yeah.
And they all have their own styles, and that's why, like, I would tune in whenever a member has their own solo album.
Yeah.
Because that's all you're getting. You know, you'll get a feature here and there on the track, but, like, that's one beautiful thing about the Wu-Tang is that all the MCs, there's 9 members, well, when this album came out.
Yeah.
And they all had distinct styles, for sure. They were all completely different MCs.
I love it. Yeah. I love that so much.
And you see that a lot in the first, just in the first, like, 2 to 3 tracks alone. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different voices in 2 tracks.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, see?
The samples on this one is Black and Tan Fantasy by Thelonious Monk, nice. Different Strokes by Syl Johnson, and Dialogue is from Shaolin and Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shaolin and Wu-Tang, I think, is like on almost all these.
Yeah. It's just,
sampled.
It's literally the reference they make, 36 Chambers.
Yeah.
All right.
They're just talking about different chambers.
Yep.
Track 3, Ruben, what was it?
Clan in the Front, son.
Clan in the Front.
This track is actually pretty hard, too.
Yeah.
The beat, pretty simplistic, very simple, non-complex. It's just like a piano, I believe, and some percussion.
Piano sample.
Yeah.
So good.
A lot of piano samples in this, for sure. I think one of the catchiest parts of, I think it's from Jizz a Genius when he says, and this is what really catches my attention because I'm a big Indiana Jones fan.
Yeah.
He says, pass the bone, let's get on this mission like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, 10-year-old me, I was like, fuck yeah, he said Indiana Jones. I love Indiana Jones.
Just the immediate hype.
Let's go. Yeah, so that's one track up for sure. I mean, there's so many pop culture references in this.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Ruben, what you got on Clan in the Front?
So this is definitely a hard roll call in the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
this is the first one you get.
This is like, in the show, this is the first roll call. We're bringing out all the goons. Not everyone's on the track, but this is like them wilding out on stage, getting the energy popped up on the track. And the one lyric I pulled out from the Genius was, what was he saying? Oh, gamed Ella that, can I say bitch?
Absolutely. It's Alex approved.
We're good?
Okay. We got the green light.
For the super producer, Alex Webster said I'm good to say bitch. So again, Ella, that bitch caught a Fritz like Gerald. I was like, yo, he cut up Fritz Gerald like
that? That's hard. Like, that was so cool.
Yeah.
The lyrics I wrote, hang your ass with this microphone.
Of course you would.
Come sharp as a blade and I cut you slow.
Yep.
And then on the mound, it's a no-hitter. Like, oh my God. Like, what?
Yeah,
there was baseball references in this one. Yeah, I was like here for it.
These are, like, again, this is a, like a memory I have is riding my bike places as a kid. Like, I had my headphones on. I'd be listening to it. And the first time, like, hearing those, like, lyrics or, like, that rhyme, like, they did something real creative like that. I just, like, I have to get off my bike and, like, think about my life for a little bit because that is so cool. And,
that's
like,
fucking awesome.
Fuck, who wrote that?
You couldn't keep riding your bike?
No, I'm distracted. Think about it.
I have to digest this real quick.
That's good.
The samples on this is Balu's R by Thelonious Monk, Honeybee by The New Birth, The Love You Save by the Jackson 5.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
And Synthetic Substitution by Melvin Bliss.
Oh, okay. Damn.
I did not know about that Jackson 5.
So RZA was like all, man.
He was pulling everything.
Yeah, he had his hands on a lot right here. Okay.
But that's the best about, like, specifically hip-hop, just the sample culture.
Yeah.
You can get so much of anything and they'll make it work. Like that, like I said, that piano clip. I'm sure that's from, you know, one of these songs here that sounds nothing like a Wu-Tang thing.
Bro, and this album, I think it turns 30, like, this year, right?
93.
So can you imagine what it was like trying to sample songs, like, 30 years ago? These days, you can do it in the, with a click of a mouse.
Really?
You
know,
but, like,
you know,
back
else
then,
is 30. Going to be 30 this year.
Oh,
yes,
it's
30. I was born 93.
Dang, dude. Well, welcome to the 30 club, man.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Everything hurts.
Everything's going to start hurting. It's all downhill for
you. It already hurts.
Oh, shit. All right. We'll go on to track four. Phil, what's track four?
Oh, this is Wu-Tang, The Seventh Chamber.
Oh, yeah.
This track goes pretty hard, too. This one is one that I listen to, but it's not my top favorite, like, tracks on this album. But, I mean, you can't deny the fucking, the rawness, again, from this. The skit, I believe that's in
the
it.
The skit is very long.
Yeah.
So it's a 6-minute song?
The skit's like
2 minutes.
The skit goes for a while.
I literally wrote a long ass intro, and it's like probably why people don't listen to this song.
Yeah.
Because you have to either fast forward through it or just power through this long ass intro.
The funniest part about the skit, though, is because they're talking about somebody getting shot.
Yeah.
And he's talking to Method through the door.
Yeah, I believe
and,
that.
Yeah. On God. Yeah. Where's Bond?
Yeah,
he says it like five times.
Yeah, and he's like, he just comes through the door. He's like, is he dead? He's like, what do you mean, is he dead?
He's got all kinds of fucking blood.
One of them goes, is he dead? Like, he mocks him like that. I was like, yo.
That's funny. No, they sound like straight up New Yorkers, dude. Like, we're like, just got shot one time with all kinds of fucking blood coming out of his fucking.
Yeah,
they sound
like a baby infant. Yeah,
it sounded like they were getting directed by Martin Scorsese, right? That skit right there.
The amount of I can only imagine this being made now.
Yeah,
where he'd be like, cap, no cap, all this shit, talking about his tips.
For real, Scotty just got shot.
Dead ass.
Yeah, dead ass.
Oh my god. It'd be too East Coast for us.
Yeah.
The lyrics I wrote for this, Psycho Ward with the Wu-Tang sword.
Oh, I love that one.
And then my favorite was Charged by the System for Murdering the Rhythm.
Dude, that's hard.
That's a hard ass line.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, that's, and again, it's one of those things with like the sample, the prison culture, like the influence that it has on rap.
Exactly.
Like, I love when they can do things like that, where they pull stuff from real life or like situations that they know is real.
Exactly.
Oh, incredible.
It's like their flow and plus their brags that they do.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're bragging, but you're not bragging about like materialistic shit that you have. You're literally bragging about your mic skills.
Yeah.
Like, and how they can just send somebody into a depression like in a rap battle.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, that's how hard, like that's what they're bragging about in this track.
And they be hyping each other up. Like, so many times they're referencing each other, like, yo, me, my boy, so and so, RZA's doing on the the music, like hitting it again. Like they are very about their posse for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
The samples on this is Spinning Wheel by Lonnie Smith,
mm.
As Long As I've Got You by the Carmels,
mm-hmm.
Down in the Valley by Otis Redding, and then more dialogue from the Shaolin movie.
Yeah. Nice.
Man.
Very, very good.
Very solid track.
Yep.
Track five, Can It All Be So Simple?
Can it
and
be
an intermission.
Yeah, so that is definitely my lady Gladys Knight on that chorus sample.
Oh yeah, you know it.
Yeah, you know it. Understand that.
I just wanted to look at the other one too.
Yeah,
I don't know the other ones on that. I just know for sure it's Gladys.
It's only two.
There was also this one. Also has like a little skit too. It's like, remember that shit back in 87? That was my favorite shit.
Oh
like,
yeah, just
they're just
bit
reminiscing about, I guess, like the good times. You know,
literally the good old days.
Yeah.
Like they repeat that a lot. And they talk about the good old days. I love that funky bass line that they took.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
So, let's talk about those good old days.
I think a lot of people will, again, this is another one that they skip once it gets to that intermission part.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like that kind of really ties the song together. Like, it makes it the track that it is.
Yeah. And RZA put like a really good beat to it. It's got that heavy ass bass line.
Yeah,
boom, 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 boom. Like, it's got a heavy bass line. I like it.
So That sample was The Way We Were / Try to Remember by Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Nice.
And the other one is Anus of Uranus by Klaatu.
What did you just say?
Anus of Uranus. That's right, Alex. I'll say it again. Anus of Uranus. Bitch.
Oh my god, dude.
I was just saying the word.
Please don't hurt me.
Oh, shit. Let's see.
How about track six?
Oh, wait, I didn't put mine.
You guys gotta oversee me, sir.
Put some respect. I was gonna say, this is thus far, even though the energy is still there, this has been the calmer track thus far.
Yeah, this really is.
I will say, though, out of all the sounds, right now, this is like the most West Coast sounding song on the whole track.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess the bass and
the vocal sample.
Mm.
Vocal samples weren't really big in a lot of groups, but you know who did make them very famous?
That's Dr. Dre.
He was the king of vocal samples.
Mm-hmm.
And like even like No Diggity, that's Bill Withers, my dude.
Yeah.
That's an old Bill Withers song.
That's nice.
Yeah, so like
I did not know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I get very big West Coast vibes off of this.
Yeah.
And of course, the people at least in my opinion, sound very West Coast. Ghostface Killah, Rick Khan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
At least their flows can do both, I think. So that's why this gave me West Coast vibes for sure.
Sounds like the type of beat where you can literally just cruise in your car and drive around.
Yeah, exactly. That's West Coast to a T.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you can't drive on the East Coast.
There's no space.
Yeah, you're not allowed to.
We'll need a taxi.
Ruben, what's track six?
Track six, The Mystery of Chess Boxing.
Dang. Now, this is my favorite fucking
track. I wrote cheese, my bad.
What?
He wrote cheese boxing?
Yeah.
You did write cheese boxing?
Also, I was very hungry. Alex, it was actually spelled wrong anyway.
So the name of this track is called The Mystery of Chess Boxing. Chess, like, because these guys play chess. And, our boy Danny here wrote The Mystery of Cheese Boxing.
Your boy was hungry.
No, that's a typo. I didn't even see that. I just fucking... Until you pointed that
out. Damn, she's going to roast me now.
Chess boxing.
Chess boxing. Right.
The Mystery of Chess Boxing. This is probably one of my favorite tracks on this album. This album, or this song goes like, if you want to introduce anybody to Wu-Tang, this is the track that I usually go to. I was like, oh, you've never heard of Wu-Tang before? Okay, cool. Listen to this track. This is them right here. You have the kung fu sound bites in the background. You have the lyrical flow and the brutality in those flows.
Yeah.
Dude, I think You God starts it off with, "Raw, I'm going to give it to
Raw,
you.
I'm going to give it with to no you.
With no trivia.
Yeah.
We're like cocaine straight from Bolivia." Dude, that whole fucking verse goes hard. And Inspect the Dex, like, "Well, I'm Messiah. I set the microphone on fire." Yeah. Raps it. Yeah, like, that shit is incredible. Even Old Dirty Bastard, everybody here.
Old Dirty Bastard, I have figured him out.
Yep.
Last track, Method Man said, "Old Dirty Bastard's called Old Dirty Bastard because he ain't no father to his flow."
Yeah.
I figured it out, though.
Oh, man.
Old Dirty Bastard, to me, has very soul/preacher vibes in his rap flow. Mm-hmm. He's able to accentuate some of those vowels and those consonants to make it work on a different flow. Mm-hmm. Usually something, if you extend a lot of those, you mess up your cut, your cadence. But he does it in a way that adds to his flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird. He can say one word, have it cut three steps, but still have it end where he needs it to end.
Right.
So that's why, like, I figured it out. Old Dirty Bastard. If James Brown was, like, from the ghetto and not from poverty,
right.
And he lived in New York and he started rapping, that's James Brown.
Yeah, that's really well put. Yeah.
I like that, yeah.
I
could live with that for sure.
I always felt like Old Dirty Bastard has a lot of theatrics to him, especially like in his flow.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's just, you know, he was, you know, like an average dude. Whenever he was like at a concert or recording, he puts on like kind of like how a wrestler does. He puts on like not a gimmick, because
it's like almost
it's kind of like an MC persona. Exactly. Thank you.
His just alter
like
ego.
His alter ego, dude. Like I think you know. That was the Old Dirty Bastard, because he's so animated in these songs, especially this song.
This one, he's all over the place.
He does the preacher thing, like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
here I go, new tap flow. Jack Lusto could never hit this note.
We get that.
Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang.
Like that. Yes. Like, oh, man. Yeah.
I had that written down also.
It's a crowd pleaser since day one.
It really is.
It's for the people.
Yep.
My lyrics that I wrote, Rama, give it to you.
Uh-huh.
My peoples, are you with me where you at?
In the front, in the back, yeah, and the bees on tax.
That, and then, man, speaking of the devil, psych, no, it's the God, get the shit right. Right.
Oh, yeah.
God! Like, what?
I believe it's Master Killer who says, merciless like a terrorist, hard to capture the flow, changes like a chameleon, this technique attacks the immune system.
Yeah.
Like, his lyrical technique attacks your immune system, like, that, and he puts, like, poison in his blade or some shit like that. Yeah. Like, that shit is fucking hard, it's, man. Oh. These guys are kung fu movie nerds, yeah, for
that's,
sure.
And that's the best thing. Yeah. So I'm glad you said that because I was going to bring it up later.
Man with the Iron Fist?
No, Ruben and I have talked about this a lot where, like, it's more the metal scene that, like, mm-hmm. nobody really thinks that these people are nerds. They're all fucking nerds.
Yeah.
And, like, especially now hip-hop, too, like, hip-hop, it's a little more obvious, but back in the day, you wouldn't have thought of these guys as, like, mm-hmm. kung fu movie nerds, but they are. They're, I mean, obviously, look at all the movies they're sampling, the whole album, but, like, it's so funny that a lot of people who, like, they get into this music and they think, like, I can't be into that nerd shit. Mm-hmm. No, dude, it's okay.
Yeah.
They're into it, too. Yeah. They fucking love
exactly.
it.
They literally were talking about Voltron earlier.
Yeah. Like, they were talking about Voltron earlier. Exactly.
But it's, that's one of my favorite things is realizing your musical heroes
mm-hmm.
are into, like, that everyday basic nerd shit.
Yeah.
And they're into it as much as,
like, and it's most not just, like, in this album, too. It's in their future albums and it's in their separate albums. Like, Just a Genius's Liquid Swords album. I think Method Man... guest appears in, or he's a guest in two tracks, and one of them says nightmares like Wes Craven. These guys love horror films also, so like these guys they're nerdy as fuck, these guys.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they were just from Staten Island in the ghetto, you know,
just living in the ghetto, man. Yeah. Having to be musically talented.
Someone also makes a Sleepy Hollow reference to some play. I forget which song.
The
Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
The sample for this one was Trap by Otis Redding and Carla Thomas.
Otis Redding, okay.
Yeah, the dialogues are from Shaolin. And the other one we haven't got to, but this is the first one, from the Five Deadly Venoms trailer.
Yeah, so the Five Deadly Venoms, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie.
I have not. Mm-hmm.
That's where the toad style comes from.
Ah.
There's different styles, and toad style is where you get the famous quote, is immensely strong and almost immune to any other weapon. So there's... I think that's in the very beginning of the movie. There's like a narrator introducing this fighter and all these different variations of styles in kung fu. And he's like, there's a crane, there's different animals and different things. And then there's the toad style. And then there's, it. Once you hear it, I watched it recently, maybe like 5-6 years ago. But when that clip came out, I was like, hey, bro, I'm going to give it to you. I wanted to hit pause just so I could just start rapping You God's Verse. But yeah.
Oh, my God.
I watched that movie specifically just to hear that clip.
I love it. All right. Track 7. I know one of you guys wants to do it. Who wants to do it?
Oh, shit. Should we just all say it together in unison? Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. There you go.
Alex is getting evicted.
Alex is getting evicted tomorrow.
And that's the second track I usually if no one's ever heard of Wu-Tang, that's the second track I'll introduce.
I literally wrote another crowd pleaser since day one. This one's for the people. Again, this is a live, aggressive headbanger.
Yeah.
Tiger style.
And again, that we were talking about it before that. Love that.
It's iconic.
I don't know why. It fits that vibe so well.
It's a little creepy.
Yeah.
It's got like some creep. It's like a creepy tune. Like if you take off the beats and the bass and you just listen to that part, it's a little creepy, man. Yeah. I mean, imagine walking in a dark hallway and that's all you hear.
That's all you hear. Suddenly a child laughs in the background.
In this house.
Yeah. What you got, Ruben?
See, I'm just looking up some more lyrics right now because I listen to the song all the time, but I just kind of vibe with that. I don't really listen to what the words are saying.
And the survey says you're dead.
Yeah.
Off your fucking head. Hey, yo, who's that? Hey, yo, the Woo's back. And then...
yo, just know the whole song, huh?
I should have prepared some lyrics.
Put the needle to the groove.
Oh, yeah.
I gets rude and I'm forced to fuck it up.
Like, yep. God. Yeah.
My cell carries like a pickup truck.
Like deja vu, I'm rubber.
Yep.
Fools is like glue. Whatever you say rubs off me, sticks to you.
Yeah, that's just fucking awesome.
Like, who thinks of that shit? Yeah.
Like, nobody was writing shit like this in 30 years ago. Yeah, and then Method Man's really cool in this too.
Yeah, he fucking goes off at the end.
Yeah.
Man, I hope you guys are ready for these samples. The theme from Underdog.
What? Nani?
Yeah, the theme from Underdog.
What?
Papa Was 2 by Joe Tex.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody Beats the Biz by Biz Markie.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow by Andrea McArdle. In the Rain, the Dramatics again.
Nice.
And the dialogue is Executioners from Shaolin.
Nice. Okay. I don't think I've seen that one.
I haven't seen a lot of these kung fu mm-hmm. movies, and if I did, I was too young to remember.
I don't know if one's been... Oh, actually, no, that's on Jizz the Genius' Liquid Swords album. It got famous when Quentin Tarantino put it in Kill Bill 2. Ooh. Oh, it's so funny I'm wearing a hat.
The Kill Bill hat. Shout out to the hat.
I'm wearing a Kill Bill hat. In Kill Bill 2, they're watching Shogun Assassin, which when you hear the little boy says, when I was a child, my father was the most famous samurai. That is actually from the very first track of Jizz the Genius' Liquid Swords album.
Hey!
Yeah, the pop culture, yeah, it's... Tarantino's a big fucking Wu-Tang fan. He had RZA fucking produce the Kill Bill soundtracks.
Great soundtracks. Yeah. Some of my favorites. Ruben, do you have any notes you wanted to share on this? I know you looked up lyrics.
What song are we talking about still? Sorry.
Nothing the fuck.
I didn't have any specific lyrics.
Just hype?
It is Wu-Tang... at its, maybe not its highest, but it's definitely most recognizable. Yeah. Obviously, Wu-Tang ain't nothing to fuck with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like,
this one and, like, Protect Your Neck and Shame on a Ninja are like the hype songs for
yes,
sure.
Absolutely. I was going to say, like, earlier, when you start getting into, like, all these other songs before this are good in their own right, but once you mm-hmm. get to The Mystery of Chess Boxing down to, ooh. Like, down to even to Protect Your Neck. Mm-hmm. This is the meat and potatoes of this album.
When we get to Protect Your Neck, man.
It's coming up.
Yeah, it's like, I think that's... All right, yeah, we'll get there.
We're at track 8 with Kareem.
Cash rules everything around me. Kareem, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. This song... Okay, so when we say that... People who are not familiar with it would automatically say, oh, what, they're bragging about money?
They're not listening to it.
It's talking about the harsh times. Yeah. I think it was actually Inspector Deck who was like, they were in their 20s when they recorded this.
It's been a long 22 hard years and I'm still struggling.
Talking about going to jail when he's 15.
Yeah.
It's like, shit, dude.
Smoking bones in the staircase. Like, yeah, dude, like the harsh times. They're not bragging about anything. Nope.
This is very OG hip hop, just not East Coast in general, but like this is kind of like the Grandmaster Flash thing that I was mm-hmm. talking about earlier, where it's like the message and white lines where like it's a song like White Lines, it's a song about cocaine. But it's don't do it.
Don't do it
the whole track, but they talk about it and like that's mm-hmm. Cream. Like
Cream is actually a pretty depressing song. Yeah. If you think about it. Yeah. Yeah. And they're not glorifying money at all.
That jazzy like instrumental that
I love that.
Yeah. And then just the beat itself is so good again with the piano. I describe that as a perfect sample.
Absolutely.
When I tell people all the time, you want to hear a beat that's not original at all. It's a completely sampled thing, mm-hmm. but it works out for them. That Kareem beat is perfect.
Kareem is a beautiful fucking... It's got a beautiful beat. Again, by RZA. All of these are from RZA, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all him, and I think Old Dirty Bastard helped on Chess Boxing.
That's cool.
It's in the last line of the chorus, the Dollar Dollar Bill, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many times it's been taken putting other songs out?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you hear that shit with the Dollar Dollar Bill? I think, like, one of the most... recent, maybe not recent, but as far as what I consider recent, what was it, that Sweetest Girl, Wyclef Jean and Lil Wayne,
mm-hmm.
they say
mm-hmm.
that dollar dollar bill, but they're talking about getting money.
Okay.
But like even that sense their song is like talking about the struggle to get money, but this is saying, you know, that green piece of paper runs
it
my
runs
life
everything.
Yeah.
And they ain't wrong. Yay, capitalism, right, Alex?
Yay, capitalism.
Got a thumbs up.
So, around this time, I was, like, in junior high, maybe already, like, a freshman in high school. I already, like, had at least 2 years of experience of listening to this album.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, Dave Chappelle's Chappelle Show was already coming on board, right? It was making big numbers, and there was a skit. I don't know if you guys ever remember this skit from Chappelle Show, where they're talking about a financial firm, and
the
it's
Wu-Tang
like firm. The Wu-Tang Financial. And then like there's a voice. It's like a, it was supposed to be like an advertisement for like a financial firm to help you out with your financial needs, like buying bonds and stock information and stuff like that, right? So he's like, in this day and age, saving up on your money is very important. So as like they say, cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, yo. And then RZA and GZA show up, and they're the CEO of the Wu-Tang Financial, of the financial firm.
Oh, I gotta watch this later.
Dude, you ever see that? It's a funny
When you said David Chappelle, I thought he was gonna pick the race draft.
They do come out of that too. When they're officially Asian.
Yeah, the Asians like to pick RZA.
The older RZA. I thought that was genius. And Chappelle is also a huge fucking Wu-Tang fan too, for sure.
Yeah, he fucking loves Wu-Tang.
But the Wu-Tang Financial, I always think of Cream's, because the way the voiceover actor said it, he sounded like William Shatner saying this.
The other funny Wu-Tang reference he has in there is when Keeping It Real goes wrong.
Oh yeah,
and the dude he goes off in the office meeting.
Wu-Tang! I literally sent that gift today to Webster in the morning, dude. I can pull up that text message, bro. I literally sent that to
him. Everything too,
bro. All right, Webster, I'll see you tonight. And little Dave Chappelle going Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang!
Oh, Wu-Tang!
Dude, that is fucking hilarious.
He said it's one of the best fucking moments. Because it's so uncalled for. He's just yelling in that office.
Wu-Tang!
Wasn't he like quitting his job? Or
no, said like he called him brother, or he made some kind of like
It's
like racist, but then I didn't mean to go be that way. But it. It's just him yelling.
When Keeping It Real goes wrong. Oh, that's hilarious.
The sample on this one was again As Long As I've Got You.
Nice.
So that's what's crazy is like, what was the other one? As Long As I've Got You. As Long As I've Got You was
Tears? No.
No, that's one we already did. Man, I lost it. Yeah. But what's crazy is like Cream is also another one of those songs that sounds like nothing on the album. It's not as aggressive.
Yeah.
It's a very like flow and like kind of chill vibe.
It felt like it was a very personal song too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're talking about their life.
Yeah, because they really are talking about, like, the harsh times they had, and they're still going through at the time, you know. I'm sure, you know, it must be different now, but, like, yeah, this song sounds personal as fuck when every time I hear it.
Ooh, the background vocals on this is Buddha Monk.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, he gets a feature on it.
Okay.
All right, track 9. METHOD.
Oh, man. I love when GZA fucking introduces everybody. He's like, from the slums of Shaolin, Wu-Tang Clan strikes again. The RZA, the GZA, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspect the Deck, Raekwon the Chef, You God, Ghostface Killer, and METHOD.
Man.
I love that fucking, that whole entire sequence is sick. Hey, you, get off my clan. That shit, like, that whole fucking album and the beat too, man.
Oh,
I'm sorry, the track and the beat.
Well,
it was fucking hard.
Torture motherfucker.
Dude,
fucking that skin. Like,
I'll hang you off your fucking dick by the 4-story building. my favorite insult probably has to be the last one. It was like, I'll fucking tie you up to a fucking bedpost.
Yeah.
I'll tie you up to a bedpost. Oh, no, I'll sew up your asshole
like
close and
feeding
keep feeding you. And
feeding
you.
You.
And feeding you.
That's
we're watching Seven. What is happening?
Yeah, I think it's so like over the top, and they're laughing. They're clearly being dumb.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is one of like the best skits, I think. Like intros to the songs, like it's so extra and
it
like
is.
Weird. And this song specifically, the amount of references to random shit. The Fat Albert impression.
Yeah,
like that's silly ass rapping,
Albert.
And it's good. Eminem does that.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and I think you know, if Eminem may have done it, but I don't think people would have been as receptive if Method Man didn't do this.
Exactly,
like, because this song is full.
Yeah.
It's silly. It's off the walls, but like so good.
Absolutely,
you would think it's something that Eminem did, but
before Eminem for sure. At least before he was getting traction.
Yeah,
Like even the part where he changes the sound of the flow a little bit, and he says, "I got fat bag of scum."
Yeah,
he starts going like that. Like it sounds like almost like. nursery rhymey when he's going through that.
I got myself a 40 and I'm about to go get lifted. I got myself a shorty and I'm about to go and stick it.
Yeah.
Bro, that's silly, dude. So I got a funny story to that. I've had the pleasure of seeing Wu-Tang Clan three times.
Hey.
My first time, I think I was still in high school. I was at a hip hop festival called Rock the Bells.
My brother was at that show.
Oh, nice, nice. And the headliners was Wu-Tang Clan. So they were all there. ODB had already been dead for a couple years already. You know, like, he had already passed. But they had, like, this big, like, ODB, like, mural on stage. When it came to Method Man, the song, Method Man himself went over to the speaker where me and my friends were at. The whole time, we had, like, earplugs because this fucking speaker was blowing into our ear. So Method Man jumped, climbed onto the speaker where we were at, and he goes, "Hey, you, get off my clan!" And then we just started, like, dude, we had, like, front, like, the way you and I are like, this, our distance, and that's how close I was to, like, to Method Man. And it was, like, fucking awesome. The dude was rapping off the speaker where he was, like, where we were at, and it was a fucking awesome thing. But yeah, that was, like, the first time seeing Wu-Tang. Mm. And then I've seen GZA play Liquid Swords in its entirety. I've seen Raekwon. I saw Wu-Tang like two more times. So yeah, I've had the pleasure of seeing them multiple times and like separate shows too. But yeah, that was my first time seeing them.
So that show, my buddy got me tickets to it and I couldn't go because I got scheduled to work. Nice. So I gave my tickets to my brother and my cousin and it was VIP all access. So they got to do meet and greets with Dilated Peoples. But that same show, they were front row. My brother had a cream hat. I've told Ruben this story.
Yeah.
And Method Man trades hats with my brother.
What?
So my brother has this random ass hat at home that was Method Man's hat at one point. And like during cream, he's like, you know, he's rapping and he takes the cream hat off and yeets it into the crowd. My brother's
like, my hat. That's my fucking hat.
He should just let me keep it.
Yeah, it was so funny because like,
well, at least you were for a little while.
Yeah, the first time he told me that story, I was like, it's so cool because I have this hat with, like, that was his. It's not signed and it's a weird brand, so nobody knows, but you know. And your hat just got straight to the fucking 12th row.
The actual Wu-Tang hat.
That is hilarious. Oh, man, that's funny.
Well, what you got on pretty roof?
I don't know if I can follow it up after that story.
Method Man,
right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah,
we're off for Method
Man. Sorry, I'm still thinking about the story. Just
I would be so sad.
But yeah, dude, if that was me, I was like, motherfucker. Well, at least I get to keep Method Man's head.
Yeah.
But it's just a random ass hat.
Only other, we already talked about it, about how he changes his flow and how it's a little bit silly. But mm-hmm. I also said that this is like the prime example why Method Man, to this day, is still one of the longest lasting members of.
Yep.
Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah,
I was talking about earlier. Wu-Tang or not Wu-Tang? Method Man just released a single with Prof, another rapper from today.
Mm-hmm.
Today, like they just released a song today.
I haven't heard it, but I heard he's still being active, which is cool to see. Which is good to know, man, because the dude's like in his 50s now.
Yeah,
like,
older.
Yeah, pushing 60 now, probably.
Probably. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, so it's cool to see that they're still pretty active. When I saw them, I think it was last time I saw them together was like Coachella 2015, I think, or 2016.
I was on the ship.
They were still like pretty active. They were probably like in their 40s, probably early 50s, but they were still pretty active, and they got the energy. And Method Man, dude, the dude looks good for his age, you know, like, so
care of himself.
Yeah, he's I don't know what the hell. Yeah, he ages really well, and he's got the energy still on stage. I saw Raekwon like 4 years ago, and yeah, same man. They still got the energy on stage for sure.
The samples on this again, Synthetic Substitution from Melvin Bliss, Tramp by Carla Thomas and Otis Redding. And Sport by Lightning Rod and Cool in the Gang.
The
Gang.
All right,
very cool. Very cool.
All right, track 10. Ruben, what's track 10?
Hey, what's up, man? Cooling, man. Chilling.
Chilling.
Hey, you know why I called, right? You know why, right? Why, right? Because, yo, I never ask you to call and play something. You know what I want to hear, right? What you want to hear? I want to hear that Wu-Tang again.
It's Protect Your Neck.
This is probably my favorite track on the album.
This one is?
Protect Your Neck. I think, as far as like hype goes, Yeah. Cream.
This one was the single.
Yeah. Cream is a great fucking song. And so is The Mystery of Chess Boxing. But Protect Your Neck, I don't know, man. Like, this shit is... It's like when it just straight up form, basics, like foundational Wu-Tang right here. You know, from the sick ass beat, from the fucking references to the fucking flows, the MCs, like the rawness in this. This is like the essential Wu-Tang track for sure.
Oh, yeah. I make more noise than heavy metal.
Shoot, the rebel. I make more noise than heavy metal.
Flowing like Christ when I speaks the gospel. Yeah. And then crazy flamboyant for the rap enjoyment. Like, yep. Oh my God.
First of all, first line that I immediately heard, terrorize the jam.
I was going to say
like
that
troops in Pakistan.
Swinging through your town like a neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Dude, that was going to be the
that lyrics. Was yours? Yeah. I have no head.
But there's a few, though. There's a lot in this one.
The album alone, just this song also, because I grabbed the clip, it hit you with 16 shots, and I got
Yep. And then just at the I think it's like the very end too. It's like, and I'm the dirtiest thing in sight. Matter of fact, bring out the girls and let's have a mud fight.
Yep.
Ding, ding, ding. Yep.
There's dirty bastards drinking and stinking.
Oh yeah. First things first, man. You're fucking with the worst. I'm snapping him like a fucking Hearst. And that shit, there are some fucking savage, fucking aggressive ass fucking lyrics in this one, for sure.
I love this track, and it's like everybody's on this.
Yeah, I think there's like a full roll call on this one.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think everyone's in this for sure.
Jesus Christ, what a fucking song.
Yeah, Protect Your Neck is a big one.
The sample is The Grunt by the JBs, and the dialogue's from Shaolin and the Wu-Tang. All right, track 11, we got... Tears.
So I know the sample from this song for sure. As soon as I heard it, it's After Laughter by Wendy Renee.
That's it?
Yep. 1964. I had to look up the year. Nice. But I knew the song for sure. That's one of those... That's an oldies. Like, I hear that song growing up.
Nice. That's really cool. And I think this is another song that might have been a little personal, too. For
it's definitely. Yeah. The story about his brother getting killed. Like,
Yep. This one's another one, too.
Yeah. I wrote this beat's hard as fuck, and this is... Slick Rick telling a story again.
Yeah.
It's a big, like, this is what it's like for us.
Yeah. And it's just, like, you see, like, this... They're talking about, like, this young man who just make, like, bad choices in life and shit like that. And
it's like, it's a rough song, like, if you really sit down and listen to it.
I think at the very end, too, he's like, man, if he was still here, I wish he was here to listen to these last three words.
Yeah.
And, that shit's... Yeah, you hear the regret... You hear the guilt in for sure. And RZA is actually on the microphone a lot in this one, too.
He's the intro in the first verse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did the acting in the part where the dude gets shot up. Mm-hmm. That's RZA right there just like, oh, man, call a fucking ambulance. No, no.
Yeah. It's RZA and Ghostface.
Tears is a good one, and it's appropriately named Tears because it's a sad-ass song. It really is.
His boy gets HIV from being down with OPP.
Yep.
Goddamn.
That shit's rough, man.
Like Ruben said, that sample was After Laughter Comes Tears.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is Get Me Back on Time, Engine Number 9 by Wilson Pickett.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
The Boogie Back by Roy Ayers. And The Way We Were by Barbara Streisand.
Oh, right. Yeah, The Way We Were. I gotta look back at that again.
Very cool.
Babs out here.
Yeah.
And wrapping it all up, Ruben, what is track 12?
Good morning, Vietnam!
It's a second Vietnam reference of the album.
I was like, Phil, we did this already.
Yep.
The last one is... Wow, I got Wu-Tang, Seventh Chambers again. Yep. This is part two, right?
Part two, the conclusion.
On my Spotify, it wasn't in that same order.
Don't know why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is Wu-Tang, Seventh Chamber, Part 2.
This beat is badass, too.
I love that it was a way to bring back that... Was it track 4?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a cool way to bring back track 4 and kind of like put a rap on this album.
Exactly. Yeah, this album's good. Honestly, like, it's a good fucking conclusion, man, but I think if I were to go back, like, if it were me, like this album is perfect already. But if I was RZA, I would have finished off this album with Protect Your Neck.
Okay, with a hitter?
Yeah, with a hitter. Start off with a hitter, end up with a hitter. Because this one's a good... Seventh Chamber Part 2 is good, I love it. Don't get me wrong. Love it. I would, you know, but dude, to end it with Protect Your Neck, I think would have been a great way to end this album.
Hot takes? I mean,
it might be a hot take. Yeah, it might be a hot take.
Yeah, somebody's going to get mad about it. But it's not my problem. No, I can dig it. Do you think so? Do you think if they do Protect Your Neck and they put that conclusion?
You know what? Yeah.
At the end of it, would it work?
Yeah, probably.
You think so?
I think so. I think so.
I gotta listen to both now.
Right? Gotta re-listen to it again, even though we listened to it like 8 times.
Yeah. I've been listening to this album, a majority of my life. Like, since 8th grade, I think. A lot of nostalgia with this one, for sure.
I honestly love this album. It was so cool to actually re-listen to it and, mm-hmm. like, sit down with it for a bit and kind of pick it apart in my brain. Ruben, what'd you write for track 12?
Just my man, Old Dirty Bastard, again.
Yep.
He was the anchor, I think, right? Yep.
Are you a warrior? Killer? Slicing shit like a samurai?
No, Gizzo was last. But still, the freaking Old Dirty Bastard from the bar. Mm-hmm. Old Dirty Clan of Terrorists. Like,
slicing shit like a sorceress, I think it's called.
Coming at your ass like a sorceress.
Yep. Oh my god, that's good. Fucking great album. Yeah. Like I said, on the expanded edition that's on Spotify, they're more like the two are radio edits where they took the the intros out or like the skits out from the mm-hmm. beginning, and then it's a Cream a cappella, which is cool, but
yeah.
There is like a minute of dead air, at 1 minute and 7 seconds. I was like, is my Spotify broken?
It's cool to hear like those acapellas, but like, mm-hmm. I don't know. What do we say about it?
Expanded version's always cool and stuff, but like, you know, honestly, like I just grew up with the regular version.
I think because on Spotify, I've been listening on Spotify, which is part of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if I look up Wu-Tang.
Yeah, because mine had part two after the re of Method Man and Bring Protect Your Neck, one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the expanded edition was the one I listened to.
Yeah.
The other 36 chambers that they have on here
mm-hmm.
is it's edited. It's only 9 songs. It's they took out all the cursing. Like it's a clean version.
I never understood that.
Yeah.
Like the whole album, there's the parental advisory sticker. Like, but I think Protect Your Neck actually has, they edit ODB's parts. Like, first things first, man, you're free, and with the worst. I'm like, why is the rest of the album not edited except for that, like, a couple of...
just be saying the I guess so.
But it literally, there's also an unedited version. He just says, first things first, man, you're fucking with the worst. And it's like, well, why edit that one piece?
Right.
Like, I never understood why. And I listened to this album my entire fucking life. Well, most of my life. And I was like, well, why the fuck is that one part edited?
Maybe because, I don't know.
I never understood.
Because I, like, in my personal growing up, I know Old Dirty Bastard before I knew Wu-Tang.
Mm.
Because Old Dirty Bastard was a little bit more, at least on the west side where I was from.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, I grew up to, hey, dirty. Baby, I got your money. Yeah. So, like, I knew Old Dirty Bastard before I knew it was Wu-Tang.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, maybe because he was a little bit, I don't know,
higher level, I guess. I knew about Method Man before Wu-Tang because how high was a Stoner Flex?
I
used to watch all the time.
Loved it.
I loved How High a lot, and I knew he was a rapper. And then I was like, okay, cool. So then I started listening to, like, Method Man music first before, like, my friends showed me what Wu-Tang was.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit. Oh, okay, cool. Damn. Oh, he's in a group. And then my friend's like, just shut up, dude. Just shut up and listen, man.
Like, the group.
He's in a group, sir?
he's in a group? Oh, okay. Cool.
But yeah, that wraps up this album. Let me get a rating out of 5 Creative Tortures.
I'm aiming high, dude. This is 5 for me.
You give it a 5?
This is like, for me, it's not, when it comes to music, and more specifically like hip-hop, this is like an essential hip-hop album
mm-hmm.
that like, I think, it, you know, even if you're not a hip-hop fan, maybe you may not like this, maybe you will, but if you're in the hip-hop culture, if you're invested in hip-hop, if you have like a slight history with hip-hop, this is definitely a fucking album you gotta listen to. You know, it's one of my like go-tos when it comes to just listening to classic hip-hop, especially in the 90s. There was a lot going on in 90s hip-hop, but with the surfacing of Wu-Tang, I think it just plays a big critical part. And it's not just this album too. This is a good group album. It's my favorite one of the group albums. But if you never had a chance to listen to like separate members' own albums, Like, they've gone gold, platinum. Like, 36 Chambers has gone, as we mentioned earlier. Yeah, like, triple, it got, yeah. So has, like, Ghostface Killah's album, GZA's album. Bobby Digital's, RZA's Bobby Digital has gone gold. Let's see, who else? Oh, Raekwon's Only Built for Cuban Links Parts 1 and 2 have gone gold. Like, all of them accumulated, dude. They've made great music. They've, like, not just left a dent on hip-hop, they have made a whole fucking crater.
Right.
You know, like, they've left their name on there, and if, like, and if they're retiring anytime soon, or if that's it for them, then they're letting this ship sail, then they did what they did, man, and they left a huge impact on the hip hop culture for sure. But 36 Chambers is definitely like an album that I like to fucking recommend to people.
Hell yeah, Ruben.
I'm gonna give it 4 Creative Tortures, only because growing up as a kid, wasn't really big into East Coast flow.
Mm.
Hardly listened to Nas, never listened to Jay-Z.
Mm.
Biggie only because he was Biggie. Anyone else besides that, I couldn't tell you who they were.
Yeah,
except Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
So, like Phil said, on that level, they are instrumental to, well, like, common modern day rap would not be any the same place it is now hadn't this
without
album came
Wu-Tang,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you, like, we were talking about during the show, you could see the pull strings of where people nowadays get their flow from. It's
exactly.
From this stuff right here. And the only thing we got on the West Coast that was even close to that was maybe Tupac.
Yeah.
Because he had brought that kind of loud East Coast energy to a very chill vibe West Coast.
Right.
So, like, this is the only parallel for me. So, I give it a 4.
I'm going to give it a 4.5 for sure. Again, same thing as Ruben. I didn't really grow up listening to East Coast rap.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, listen to Wu-Tang for sure. Biggie for sure. But, like, again, this was this is such an aggressive album.
Yeah,
and I love that. It's like it's all attitude, and like N.W.A. You know, like they had their own attitude, but like this was over the top. They did so much with this track, all these tracks, and like again, just the lyrical writing. Like they all, like we were saying, they all write different. It all works. All these songs, there's nothing wrong with these songs.
Mm-hmm.
They're just fucking incredible.
Yeah.
So I honestly, it's a perfect East Coast album.
Yeah.
If you need to like you were saying, to use something as a, like, when did hip-hop, like, really take off on the East Coast?
Yeah.
36 Chambers,
mm-hmm.
Of course. Christ. All right, well, we are peacing out. Ruben, do you have any plugs, and do you want to say goodbye to these people?
I'll say goodbye to these people. My name, again, was Ruben. I am REC Matrix on Instagram. I am the Blue Collar Sad Boy, if you want to find me, because I work out, I like raccoons, I like karaoke, I like sad music. If you like any of those things, follow me. If not, don't. I'm also on, me and Danny are also on Turning Tables Podcast, where we're both DMs on that show. My turn has just finished by the time, or no, it's probably still releasing. No, by this time, my turn has been finished.
Yeah. I might be back at your turn.
I might be doing it again.
Yeah.
But you can find Turning Tables Podcast on Turning Tables Pod at Instagram. We do have a Twitter, but I don't know what it is.
It's TTDND Pod, I think.
TTDND Pod. I will learn it eventually on Twitter. I don't mess with Twitter, so I don't know. But please give us a follow, give us a listen. It's a good time. If you like the noises of dice rolling, or you like D&D, that's what we do there.
Would you roll or no?
It was a 1.
Okay.
On a D6.
It's okay. I just wanted to throw a dice for dice rolling. Phil, any outros and plugs you got to say?
Yeah, man. Just like, you know, if you've never listened to this album, definitely check it out. I think it ages very well. Even though it's 30 years old, I think it's a very timeless album. I love it very much, and I love this group very much. As a fan of hip-hop, like, you know, I grew up with this genre. Same with metal, hip-punk, even pop, man. So it's like, but when it comes to hip-hop, I definitely like to throw this album around. But yeah, those are my final thoughts. But yeah, man, I'm on Instagram and YouTube at Phil Acevedo. If you go on YouTube, I just post a lot of... I talk a lot of movies shit, and I like to post shit that I'm working on, and I don't know, I like to do shit behind a camera here and there. But yeah, that's me. On Instagram, I just post a lot of shit posting on my stories.
No, I would deny your little series on your like your VHSs and the small TV.
Those
are dope. I love those.
Thank you. I'm gonna be making some more of those pretty soon. But yeah, that's it for me, man. Also, thanks for having me, man. I've had a really good time on this podcast.
I need you to plug the other show you're on the network.
Absolutely.
You're at Super Producer's house, and I think she'll murder us if we don't plug it.
I'm also the sexiest, smartest, charmingest host out of the Horrible People's Podcast, and I'm usually the correct one. I bring a lot of, you know, I'm saying that I bring a lot of hot takes. I don't think they're hot takes. I just think they're correct takes. And, you know, I like to, my other host, she likes to really talk trash on the Halloween Thorn trilogy. And she's not here to defend herself. So I'm just going to be like, she's incorrect. The Thorn trilogy rules. But yeah, I'm on the Horrible People's Podcast. That's HORRBLE podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, wherever all podcasts are available. We just released, I believe, what episode just came out?
At this point, I think it's Gremlins 2.
Gremlins 2, which I wrote. I wrote and I hosted that one. Yeah, Gremlins 2 was a sick one. I had a really good time. So yeah, if you like horror, come by and listen to the Horrible People's Podcast.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for joining me here today. Follow this podcast on Instagram at Hops and Notes Pod and myself on Instagram at Wrathchild714. Follow the network, Horrible People's Network, on Instagram. That's HORROBLE People's Network. And listen to all the other shows we just talked about. Until then, Wu-Tang forever.
Wu-Tang.
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 For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to Horrible People's Network on Instagram. That's HORROBLE People's Network on Instagram.